Well, here we are on February 14th, Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. Welcome, everybody.
And this is Thomas Rob.
And Jason Rob.
And Rachel's up.
Rachel's not here. It is Valentine's Day, so.
I didn't sound like it. Maybe I should like mimic her voice.
You could.
After the show. I said, oh, Rachel sounds sick.
Yeah. Well, now her, Scott, her husband, has taken her out for Valentine's and did it. So that's where they're at. And so we're just you and I, Dad.
You and I. So we're freewheeling here.
Yes. So, but happy Valentine's
Day. We had a pancake
day.
Breakfast.
We did at church this morning.
Free pancakes.
Yeah. Every Valentine's Day and then usually Mother's Day and Father's Day, the church members will make breakfast for the congregation just kind of as a thank you. And usually on Father's Day, the women will come early and make breakfast for all the men in the congregation. And then on Mother's Day, it's kind of reverse. The men will come and do the breakfast for the women. And then on Valentine's Day, it's just kind of a special.
Well, it's the family.
Myself
and you and Rachel, the family here get together and show appreciation to all the church members.
Right. So we made it work. Yep.
We had pancakes.
Pancakes. We attempted to make pancakes shaped out of a heart. We tried to do that, and I think we were somewhat successful, maybe. But anyway, everyone enjoyed it. Everyone liked it, and we just really appreciate our congregation and all the church members, and even those that listen to us on the internet. We have a great faithful congregation member outreach family members. Across the United States, and unfortunately, we haven't figured out how we can get them pancakes on those special days.
Can't get them pancakes,
but we do appreciate their support and their dedication to getting up with their families and watching the show because that's
and it's important because the children need the teachings of the parents to be reinforced by other people. It can't just be mom and dad. This is what mom and dad teaches. This is what mom and dad believes. You've got to see that there's other people throughout the country who has a great love for our race and our nation, our homeland, our faith. And listening to church helps empower that.
Right. And so, I like the idea that, we live in a technology age where you have parents or even grandparents, that can get up in the morning and they can get on the internet with their children and watch a church service. And it's vitally and vitally important that they do that because they don't need to be going to a church that teaches miscegenation, which is race mixing or homosexuality.
And they do, a lot of them do. They don't come right out and say, okay, we're going to teach miscegenation. But they make it.
It's through their appearance. And that it's,
right, through their appearance, through missionary programs, through their preaching, which is inclusive to integration. Most churches will welcome an interracial couple into their church, non-whites into their church. It's across the board, practically every denomination, and throughout every state, throughout the country. Opens the doors for race mixing.
And what amazes me is you can have almost a exclusive white church, but if you still have one or two non-white couples coming there, especially if you have children, then you're basically teaching your children it's okay.
It's okay.
And the thing is, if you're against race mixing, it has to be not because it's maybe culturally offensive. It is morally wrong. The Bible is very specific against race mixing. And so when you're basically what's called tacit approval, which means that you're approving it silently by just accepting it, and your children sees that you're accepting it without making a fuss or saying, we're leaving this church.
Right.
Then they will definitely be growing up and definitely will not have a backbone. Because if the parents don't have a backbone, the children definitely will not.
Right.
And so that's why it's vitally important, that parents and grandparents, watch the church program, our church service program on Sundays, because we are a biblically based church. We do not promote homosexuality. We preach against it. We preach against race mixing. We're adamant about it. I mean,
well, the two great sins that Christ said will be paramount in the last days is miscegenation and sodomy. Those are the two things that he says are going to rise to prominence. When you see those two things becoming accepted, miscegenation, race mixing, and sodomy, which is homosexuality, when you see those two things becoming accepted as the norm in society, know the end is near.
Yeah.
And we have a book called The Last Church, which goes into this pretty thoroughly, but it's not a very long book, but pretty thoroughly, that if people want to obtain it, you know, we'll send them a copy. If they can put a few dollars in, $5-$10, help cover the cost, the postage, we would appreciate it. But if you want a copy of it, just write to Post Office Box 602, P.O. Box 602, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. And we'll get you a copy, The Last Church, because this is what we see arising among us today. A church that accepts race mixing and a church that accepts sodomy. Now, they're more open on the acceptance of race mixing and less open on the acceptance of sodomy, but they are still accepting it into their churches. Some churches say they oppose it, are against it, and do not allow homosexual preachers or teachers in their church. But they still welcome them to come to their church. And so these are the things that we're facing today. And, you know, so if you want to get a copy of that book, The Last Church.
You can also email at revival@southshore.com. And that's SOUTHSHORE, South Shore. So revival@southshore.com. And that's another way, let us know that you heard us on the Knights Roundtable so we can get that information to you. But no, that is an excellent, excellent book, Dad. Because, unfortunately, it's not being taught in the churches. The churches want to avoid that subject because anything that's controversial, they want to avoid. And because of that,
they have no backbone.
They don't have no backbone.
The Bible said that you're warm, hot or cold. It's because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And that's what they have become.
And that's why they basically have, you know, parted ways from teaching the sound biblical truths of the Bible. Now it's just kind of a positive, if you believe in God, you're going to be, you know, successful, you'll be rich, you know, you'll be financially secure. All your troubles will go away.
It's a self-help program.
It is, you know, like you said, they put Christianity on the same shelf as Buddha or Scientology or Islam. It really doesn't matter. It's like if you're a Christian, everything will be hunky dory and you won't have any problems. But anything morally teachings, they basically avoid. You know, don't steal, don't cheat on your wife. Always be honest, you know, stuff that you teach a 5-year-old, but the stuff that's serious, for a national redemption, they won't do it because they know it's going to be too controversial for them. But that's why it's so important that people every Sunday watch the Christian Revival Center church service. And so all these family members out there that do that every Sunday, we really thank you for doing that, because that takes a lot of time, getting up. And some people say, well, okay, you're getting up, get on the internet. But you also, to me, that's almost more of a mental fight than going to a church that already teaches that. Because the fact is, people want to socialize with other people. People have a natural tendency mm-hmm. to say, hey, we want to go and talk to people and socialize. And when you're making a conscious effort to say, no, we are not going to do that because you're actually teaching, you know, the enemy's teachings, and you're teaching against white genocide. And so you make that conscious effort, we're not going to do that, and we're staying home, and we're going to basically miss all the bells and whistles of church because, you know, they, you know, you, it's fun, you know. But then you're consciously sitting there, you're listening to a program, knowing that program is actually teaching your kids the right, the path to God. And so we really appreciate all our church members out there.
Well, I've known people who are members of the Klan who still attend some church somewhere. And we're not against attending church. Trust me, people should be attending church. But it has to be a church that's teaching truth.
It has to be a right church.
Yeah, it can't be a church that's teaching race mixing. Right. Either a tacit approval of race mixing or a tacit approval of homosexuality. Because then you might be supporting, especially if you're giving contributions to that church.
Right.
Then you're actually supporting the enemy. And Christ said, don't be lukewarm. Be hot or cold. Be something. Stand with some kind of principle. But
when you support the very same people that is seeking to destroy you, it just blows my mind. I mean, it really does. And so, people out there that's listening, you know, you need to continue to, you know, listen to the church program. If you're in the area, you know, a couple hours away, you can attend our church service. We always have it at 11 o'clock on Sundays. The first Sunday of each month, we always have potluck. And if people don't know what potluck is, that's where people bring food and we eat after church. That's the first Sunday of each month. But if you're within 1 hour or even 2 hours sometimes, there's no reason why you can't get up and come to church. I mean, this is a church. We have a great congregation, a dedicated congregation. And you're going to know that when you get here, we believe... We believe in not race mixing. We believe in against homosexuality. We believe in the Second Amendment. We believe in securing our borders.
Right.
Everything traditional, we believe in. And it's really sad that we have to make those points out there so people know what we believe in. Because in the traditional times, people...
A generation or two ago...
It was a given.
Yeah.
It was a gift.
We are a heterosexual church. Let everybody know that.
Yeah. We do not allow queers in our church. You know?
Yeah.
We don't allow race mixing. I mean, it was a given. And it's unfortunate how quickly it has changed in just the last 50 years. And so, you know, people out there, you need to attend church. And it really saddens me because we know a lot of people... Good white Christians that believes just like us. Some are members, some are not, and they're good people, and they don't even stop and consider, like the Bible says, the latter end, and they don't even consider because they don't understand. Okay, well, I can believe in all this, and I'm going to raise my children, but I'm going to still attend a church maybe that might be very conservative, but they still ultimately fall short on preaching against race mixing or homosexuality.
Yeah, or they have a certain, they're a little bit prideful.
Right.
And say, I don't need to go to church. I can teach my kids at home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to go to that church. I get up Sunday morning, just stay home with my kids. We're going to go to the lake. We're going to go out of place.
I'm
going to spend family time. I'll teach my kids at home. You know, I don't need to go to a church, hear them. I'll teach my kids at home.
Right.
Well, you know, the home certainly is the first, a school for teaching scriptures. No question about that. You know, the home is where you have to be on constant guard on teachings that your children are going to be receiving. However, it is important for children to know that there are others who can reinforce what they're being taught at home. I've seen it happen time and time again. People say, I'm going to teach them at home. And the kids are, first off, they're not being taught at home. Most people say they're teaching their kids at home. They're really not teaching them.
It's an illusion.
Yeah, it's an illusion. They're prideful. They're telling their kids, don't race mix them. But why? Or explain it. They'll understand it. And I see people who grow up and say, my kids say they love me, but they think I'm an old racist.
Right.
Because the kids are not being taught.
Yeah.
They're not understanding. They're not being reinforced. They're not rubbing shoulders other people who present things in a little different way maybe than you're presenting them. I'm not saying a different teaching, but just exampling in different ways. They need that reinforcement.
It needs to be ingrained in them.
Absolutely.
You know, and like you said, so often people say, well, I'm going to teach it at home. And, you know, but like But they're not teaching them. You know, just because you're at home with them does not mean you're actually talking about these issues. Riding the four-wheeler with your kids is not teaching them.
No.
Going to basketball games is not teaching them. You have to have them around other people that are like-minded people at all times.
Plus, by coming to if you're the church or going on the internet, you're teaching, telling your child, this is important.
Right,
you're not even telling them that they're just seeing by example, and that's more important than what you tell them. Your example is more important than the words that come out of your mouth. And by giving the example that this is important, of the future of our nation, the future of our people is important. I wanted to learn. I want a fellowship. I want to get to know. I want to be awakened. I want to get knowledge. This is an important deal that I can spend time with. And yet people say, well, I want to spend time with my family, so I'm not going to take them to church. And he says, but they'll get them to go to work.
Right.
They'll spend 8 hours going to work. Well, that's important. Yes, that's important.
Right.
But a person can't spend an hour coming to church or listening on the internet. Your priorities are being a little messed up.
Yeah, well, and unfortunately, those kids will not grow up really having that dedication and zeal of spreading white Christian revival. It just won't happen. They're going to be dedicated. No, they won't. You know, I mean, I hate to tell you
that.
They
might say, I'm not going to marry a white. Okay.
Yeah. But about their grandkids?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to look at you're raising them to be teachers and not raising them just to believe in being white Christians. And I know you've given that sermon plenty of time in the past that you're raising your children to be teachers. And so often people don't realize that. I mean, they're little soldiers for God, and that's what you're trying to raise them. And if you're not having them around other like-minded people, and especially with parents with kids, you would want your kids to grow up with other like-minded kids, because who knows? That might be a future mate for them someday. That could be a future wife or a future husband. And when you don't do that, and you're not having them coming over, then basically you're betraying your own kids.
Because somebody in the world.
Yeah, you're going to have your kids grow up and potentially marry someone that don't have a love for their culture. They may be white, but they don't have a love for their culture and heritage, and won't be teaching their kids the importance of keeping your race pure and keeping them traditional Christian family unity. It won't happen. But if you're around other children and your children's around them and they grow up, then they're going to be looking at that person and having a bond, and say, when they get older, when they're 16, 17, 18, they're going to be like, hey, Susie over there, we really like each other, you know? I mean, that's just how it happens, girlfriends and boyfriends, you know? It's vitally important. It doesn't anger me. It really makes me sad, sometimes even depressed, when I have seen families that will have children, that will come to church, and they may come and go, you know, and they may be around, you know, a year or two, or that they might show up after, you know, 3 or 4 years. I mean, that's just how people are, you know. It's just, you know, people are just that type of attitude. Most people are apathetic. They're sheep, and that's what the Bible calls them. They're sheep. But the point is, it's sad when you see someone that's white Christianity who believes in white pride, who believes in securing your future for your children, believes everything we believe in, and they have children, and they don't continue to bring them around. Because you know that when those kids get older, for the most part, they're not going to marry someone that loves their people. You know, they may just be white, which is great, but their future generation is probably going to be doomed in really loving this cause and wanting to promote white Christian heritage and white Christian society and everything we hold dear to our hearts. It's just not going to happen. It's really sad.
Well, it happens time and time again. I've seen what happened. I could give examples upon examples of people who said, well, you know, my wife and I just want to get away for the weekend. You know, we thought we'd leave the kids at home. Really? Is it really all about you? You know, it's all about your children.
Pretty selfish.
Yeah, it is selfish. And so
Well, you know, that's why I think really what makes our church and the outreach programs we have and that we are having developed here is so vitally important and really sets us apart from the vast majority of those in the white nationalist movement or racialist movement, however you want to identify it, is because we have church grounds here. We have an office. We have the Christian Revival Center. We are in the process of building the Christian Research and Development Center, which is a task, a monumental task that no other organization in the white racialist movement is even compared to what we are in the process of doing. And that is all stemming around the idea.
Well, Jason, there's people saying that it'll never get done. Just like they said, we'll never get our church built.
Right, absolutely.
Just like they said, we'll never get our office built. We started building our office back in 95. That's too big of a, you know, too big, cost so much, you never get it built. But it got built.
Yep.
Because there's dedicated people who had a vision.
Right.
And then we now it's going to build this church. Nice church.
It's not just a tent, it's not just a storage building
that we put chairs in. It's a nice church. You've seen pictures of it, I'm sure, if you go through the internet on a church page. But it's a nice church. You can sit a lot of people. We have a lot of people come to our conferences.
We have a nursery there. We have a kitchen in there.
Nursery, kitchen, bathrooms. It's a nice church, modern, air conditioning, heat, nice church. People said, it'll never get built. Never get built. But it got built.
Absolutely.
And now people are saying the same thing about the Christian Research Development Center. Oh, that's too big. I've seen pictures of what you want to do. That'll never get built. Never get done. Yeah. Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
And yet, it's going to get done. I don't know when or how. I don't even know how it's going to get done. Yeah. I just know it's going to get done.
Well, when
just like when I get in my car and drive to town a little bit later this afternoon. I know when I get to the stop sign, my car is going to stop. I have faith that my car will stop. I don't know how it stops. I know there's brake pads. I know there's brake fluid. All that stuff comes together. But I know I don't have to wonder. I know when I approach that stop sign and I push that gas pedal, the car stops. I know when I push the gas pedal, the car goes. I know when I turn the corner, turn the wheel, it turns. And because we've experienced it in the past and we have faith that those things are going to happen. And the same thing with this building here. That's the kind of faith we have to have in building this building or anything we do when we serve in the Lord is we just know it's going to happen the same way I know my brakes are going to stop the car.
Well, you know, and that's the thing is we have faith that God is going to get this done for us. We have faith that he's going to put the right people, the right men, the right women, who probably more importantly than anything else is going to be able to donate to this cause. Because there's no shortage of people that can volunteer to help build stuff. And there's no shortage of hiring, you know, contractors to do it. But what we need are people that are out there wanting to financially get behind us. And there are people that financially can. And we know that God is going to put, you know, and instill upon their hearts a desire and a need to send the money in order to get this done. This is something that is all tailored around the family. And it's for our future generation. And that's why, you know, this research and development center, it's going to have classrooms for teaching students in the Christian research or the Christian Soldiers Across Training Institute. We're going to have a museum in there. There's going to be study rooms. There's going to be video rooms for productions. This is a humongous task. If anyone have ever seen any type of the plans that we have for it, they're going to be look at it and they go, they almost laugh and snicker because, like, you really think you're going to be building this? Because so often in the white resistance movement, we have basically sold ourselves out from the idea of we can't accomplish anything monumental.
They give up on their dream.
Right. And they think, well, we just can't do it. No one else has done it, so why do you think you can do it? You know, or all hope is lost. And not realizing that God has not given up on his people. He has touched people's hearts to continue this message of white Christian revival. And more importantly is we need people that financially can get behind us. And so when they get see this and see what's happening, we already have the grounds cleared. People said that wasn't going to happen. We already have the grounds cleared. They said, well, that's it's not all you're going to have is grounds cleared. Well, we already got the grounds cleared, and we have the bulldozers that's already got the it leveled off.
Well, there's a huge underground rock.
Right.
That prevented us getting the ground level. And we had to get a huge
jackhammer. Yeah.
Not the one you hold by your hand, but it looks like a...
Looked like a backhoe.
Yeah, a jackhammer after 2 days breaking up that rock. And it got broke off, they got leveled off, and they got the footing built.
And that cost around $6,000. That alone. But you know what? We had people that got behind this project say, this is an important project. We're not going to let anything stop us in doing this. And so we got that done. We got levered off. We got the footing now behind it or on the property for the building. And, of course, now it's winter time, so there's not much they really can do right now. But that's the different stages of this project. And people, some of those doubters out there saying, why are you doing this? Why it's not going to happen? And to me, it's like every time they say that, God says, no, I'm going to show you it can be done. You have to have faith.
When Israel went into the promised land, God said, I'm going to give you this land as an inheritance. He gave it to our ancestors, gave it to Israel. Israel had to go there and fight for it. He didn't just give it to them from the standpoint of the enemy just packed up and left. Israel still had to go there and fight for it. Israel had to be righteous. Israel could not have sin in the camp, so to speak. They went and they had to fight for it, but they didn't take it over all at once. They took it over city by city, territory by territory, until they conquered the whole land. And the same thing with this building. We're going to have to work for it. We're going to struggle for it. And we're not going to build all at once. We're going to build in stages as the money comes in. Just like Israel had to conquer the land of Israel or Palestine in stages. It's going to be done in my stages, but it will get done. It will accomplish because it's important that it's done. It's important that we have to enhance this program of reaching out to our people. And so it is going to be done. And those people who have a vision, if you don't have a vision, I understand, if you don't have a vision, then you're going to hang on to every dollar you have and you're not going to ever support anything. I understand that. And there are lots of people in this movement, lots of people in this country who has no vision. They've given up. But if you have a vision, if you can understand that the great things can still happen in this country, it's not too late. We can still turn our people back to our fathers and recapture a future for our children. We can still do that. And those people who have that vision are the ones that are going to get behind this program.
Well, absolutely. You know, and it amazes me because even before this project, you know, we had the project of it's called Lily Pond. Some call it a memorial pond, you know, but it's a nice aesthetic on our grounds. I mean, we have a member, we have several members that own their own business. In Ohio, and they came out and contributed their time and money to build this nice aesthetic pond right above the church grounds. We have a nice deck around that. There's a nice stream coming down the hill, all layered with rock. I mean, this is an important factor because we are representing a cause here, and we always have to put our best foot forward. And you know, these people that came down, these people that own their own business and did this, they spent several weeks doing it out of their own time and money. And you know, if anyone's ever been to Arkansas, we have plenty of rocks. And it's not like Mississippi where you can just dig with a shovel and just continually dirt. We have rocks in this area in Arkansas. And they spent a week to 2 weeks here. And there's no doubt they probably spent anywhere between $20,000 to $25,000 when you're taking consideration their own time. They have brought their own crew down and the material. And this just shows the dedication.
In other words, they're going to hire out that job
right.
to somebody.
And they're going to hire it
That's
out.
How much he would have been paid.
He would have been paid that. You know? Yes, it was his own time.
Yeah.
But a person's time is worth money.
Right.
It's like going to a manufacturing job and say, I'm going to volunteer here for 2 weeks. Boy, the manufacturing company would love that.
Yeah.
Doesn't pay your bills. But we had dedicated members that said, hey, this is an important project, you know, and they bring their whole crew down here and built this awesome aesthetic. I call it Lily Pond, but you know, some people call it Memorial Pond, but it's a nice pond. It has fish in there. People get to sit around it. We have nice park benches. It's a nice attraction for people that are attendees coming to our different conferences. And we've had reporters, we've had people that come up here, and because we're constantly doing interviews with the reporters. Every week we're doing several, 2, 3, 4 times throughout the week, we're doing interviews with reporters. And these are national reporters. And they come out here, they see what's going on here, and they even get excited about it because there is no other place in the United States in the white resistance movement that's the activities and the projects and the outreach programs that the Knights are involved in. And they see this and they're like, oh my gosh, if you have all this aesthetics of the pond and park benches around that for people, attendees to come, and you got this nice research or Christian Revival Center, you got the office and you got the play area for kids and you have a building for the children and you got cabins.
Landscape grounds.
They're like in awe because there is no other place that you can do that. And when with this Christian Research and Development Center continually being developed, continually expanding, people are taking notice. The enemy is taking notice. They know that, hey, these are dedicated people that cannot be bought out.
Well, the thing is, there are people out there who are warning the nation, sending a warning to the nation what's happening to our nation. And while that's important, and we're doing that also, it's also important to show a pathway of deliverance. And we feel that we fulfill that with a pathway of deliverance to once again love our God and love our people. And we can be blessed by God again if we do that, to love our God and to love our people. And this is the program of redemption for our nation. As far as doing things that people say can't be done, this our old radio broadcast that people are listening to right now, this was a big task. You know, it's not just a podcast that comes out once a week. Someone puts together a little podcast and people can listen to it, or don't go to talk show radio, which is a free radio deal. People maybe get a program once a week.
Right.
And this is 24 hours a day radio broadcasting for the Knights Party. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've been on the air steadily, not missing a beat, since April of 2015?
15.
When we started?
Yep.
So over a year now, we've been 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We promote it as a never-ending voice, a white Christian revival. And we have all kinds of programming that spark most every interest of people. And
you know, billboard in Harrison, major highway that people drive by, thousands and thousands of people drive by and see this billboard that simply says, it's not racist to love your people.
Yeah.
And
some of you people listen to this today, maybe because you saw that billboard.
Right. And so it's one of these things that we believe that there is still hope for our people. We have not given up, and we believe there is hope. We believe that there is still a future for our children, because if you don't believe there's a future for your children, like you say, Dad, might as well take your youngest son, youngest daughter, youngest granddaughter, and just look at them in the face and say, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do.
Good luck.
Yeah, you're going to be exterminated. It's just simply that.
Right.
Simple.
And if a person who says there's nothing we can do is too late, and if you give up, that makes you no better than the politicians who betrayed us.
Absolutely.
Because that's what they've done.
Right.
They've given up, figured, well, the old America is gone, so I'm going to get with the new system.
Right.
You know, get the new deal. And so those people, just because you know the truth doesn't make you somehow a valid warrior.
Right.
I mean, lots of people know what's true.
The enemy knows the truth.
Yeah, they know the truth. And so for a person who says that, oh, I'm not going to be involved or I'm not going to do anything, it's too late, that makes you no better, just as bad, probably worse than any Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or anybody else who's betrayed us, you know, who has done our national leadership, or no better than a Billy Graham or Oral Roberts, or, well, Oral Roberts is dead, but Robert Roberts or Benny Hinn, or no better than Joel Osteen. If you're not doing something to enhance a future for our children, that means you've sold out your child, and you're no better off than these sellout preachers or politicians.
Well, what does the Bible say? The very first ones that would not inherit the kingdom of God?
Are the fearful.
The fearful.
Yeah.
Cowards. Yeah, cowards. And so...
And don't mean that you're a coward, I'm tough. It means you're afraid to face what's happening to our people. You're afraid, the fear has overpowered you, so you've given up.
And I think a lot of that, knowing fearful, like you said, it doesn't mean physically fear, it mentally. I mean, when you right. mentally have given up, when you mentally say, I'm not going to help even donate, because of my job, I just cannot be out there publicly, or I cannot pass out literature.
And I can understand that.
Right, because you got a strategy, too. But when you, to the point that I'm not even going to send my donations and contributions because of the fact that all hope is lost, then that is a fearful as well. It's really sad to see. I think our time is up to take a break, so we're going to take a few minutes, and we will be back on the Knights Party Roundtable.
All right, fantastic. Be right back.
I can't find it.
What?
My white pride.
Find it here at KKK Radio.
No nation can rise higher than its mothers. The unit of national life is not the individual, but the home, and the home is what mothers make it. The American home is by far and away the most important of all its institutions. From the family came the school, the church, and the state. The future of America will depend very largely, if not entirely, upon the preservation and the development of the ideals embodied in the American home. And the preservation of the American home will depend upon the preservation of high ideals concerning the glory, the influence, and the potency of motherhood.
You don't have to be a victim. Just say no to white genocide. You don't have to be a victim. Just say no to white genocide. You don't have to be a victim. Just say no to white genocide.
You brought your precious baby home and have done everything you can to give her the best care possible. Is she healthy? Does she get plenty of hugs and kisses? You know how important it is, but it doesn't stop when she turns 18. She is in the global minority. How will you protect her in the future? She'll have an even tougher time protecting her own children. The growing threat against white people is real, and hatred against whites is escalating. Don't forget to prepare your children for the dark days ahead, because it will be the love of thousands of mothers that will rekindle the desire for survival. Our children are too precious. Courageous moms can make the difference between life or death for our people. This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
Attention! 4 out of 5 liberal psychologists have determined that listening to this station might cause a swelling of pride, a stiffening of the backbone, and an unusual lifting of spirits. This is the voice of the conquerors. This is KKK Radio.
Okay, we're back here, Jason.
Back to the Knights Party Roundtable. You're listening. Airing from KKK Radio.
Beautiful Harrison, Arkansas.
Absolutely.
Boy, they love us in Harrison.
They do. We have a great, great lot of friends and associates in Harrison and really the whole surrounding community.
Yeah. And now, there's a few loudmouth
agitators.
Diversity Council. But I want people to know that Harrison is a good, wholesome, caring community.
Yeah.
And we're not anything like the people from the Diversity Council.
Oh, absolutely.
Those people are so hateful.
They're vile.
Yeah, we're nothing like that. We're a good community. And not that everybody in Harrison is members of the Klan. Of course not. But Harrison is a nice community, not because it's Klan members, but because it's white.
Yeah. And we want to keep Harrison as it is. We want the surrounding communities to be like Harrison. A good community, a very, very low crime rate. But you have the Diversity Council. They fundamentally, just like Barack Obama, they fundamentally want to change Harrison.
Yeah.
They want Harrison to look diversify, such as Ferguson, Missouri, or Detroit.
Right.
No, they don't like the concept of Harrison being a white community. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of small white communities throughout the country. If you're looking for, if you're thinking about moving, and if you live in a bad area where your children are going to be trapped in that area after you retire, or if you just they're not in a safe area, you need to consider moving to a safe area in the heartland of America.
And there's a lot.
And there's a lot of towns. Consider Harrison, but gosh, there's lots of other good white communities throughout the whole country.
Oh, absolutely. So Dakotas.
Yeah, I mean, there's just absolutely.
And there's a lot of great places.
So you're living in a cesspool, you need to get out.
Yeah.
And I know some people say, well, when I retire, I'm leaving. Yeah, what about your kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, great, you're going to escape. Sorry, kids.
We're going to throw you overboard and so you can escape.
You know. So
you need a move. Selfish reason.
Yeah. Anyway.
But I would like to talk a little bit about Faith and Freedom Conference. That's coming up on April 29th, 30th, and May 1st this year at the Soldiers of the Cross
Bible. That's just 10 weeks away.
Yeah, at the Soldiers of the Cross Bible Camp, about 15 miles from Harrison, Arkansas. And so it's not right in Harrison. We have our own campground. We don't have to be worried about being canceled at the last minute. We have a nice facility, nice and modern facility.
That does happen to some groups who are trying to hold meetings. They have to rent a facility somewhere.
Right.
And then at the last minute, the manager of the facility cancels them out, claiming, oh, we've got threatening phone calls and that sort of thing. If they would cancel a meeting for the NAACP, there'll be a lawsuit from here to the moon.
Oh, they're being FBI investigated.
Yeah. So it is very important that what we've developed here at the center is that we have a safe, secure place that cannot be canceled, where people come to relax, visit, fellowship. When the meeting is over, you don't have to head to the car and drive back to your motel. You can sit and relax into the wee hours of the night if you want to. Around by the bonfire, out on the patio, around the pool, on the benches, park benches, fellowship into the evening. So it is really a beautiful place, a retreat for white Christian families. Families, I want to emphasize that, white Christian families to come together and fellowship. So,
well, and that's really a tactic that the enemy has done with other groups, is they will wait till the last minute to then call and harass them, and to the point that they'll cancel the events. They don't do it ahead of time. It's all strategy. They will wait towards the last minute when
maybe a day before the meeting.
Right, when people are coming there, they know they're going to be there, and they know that they won't have time. That if they cancel it, they won't be able to have time to regroup, go to another location. So they wait for the last minute, and then the motel will cancel them, or the conference centers will cancel them. And knowing that the people there, the attendees, are just kind of with their hands up in the air, like, oh no, well now what? Well, there isn't anything you do. You just basically turn around and go home. And here, it's our own facility. It's our own campground. There's over 100 acres here. There's no canceling. Sometimes they'll say, oh, are you worried about protesters? No, not really worried about protesters. There will not be a protester within miles and miles and miles.
We own both sides of the road.
Yeah, for several miles.
Yeah, they'll have to go up 15 miles up the road somewhere to protest.
And the people that are neighbors, they're not members, but they're sympathetic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so we have a lot of people that are sympathetic. And so, have you ever had a protester? We've never had a protester.
No.
It's never occurred, because there's no way they can do that.
And the local police don't even bother us because they know we're having church.
Oh, yeah, we're having church, and the law enforcement are very friendly. We are on good terms and good basis with the law enforcement.
They're not members.
They're not members.
Yeah, but we're not saying they're supporters.
Yeah, they're not.
They just know we're not breaking the law.
But there are law supporters. I will say that. There are law supporters on the law enforcement in this area.
Right, but I'm talking about the sheriff's department.
The
sheriff is not a supporter.
No, but when we're talking about deputies and we're talking about members
correct.
That are in the law enforcement field, we have a lot of support.
Well, I've been in this community for years. We know a lot of people.
We know a lot of people. I know a lot of people. I went to school with a lot of them. I know these people, and they are very, very much sympathetic. And so, but yeah, are they members? No, they're not members. But we're not looking for members. And these people, they're sympathetic, and so we don't have to worry about law enforcement. I put them in the category on our side because they're not harassing us. They're not causing problems because we don't do anything wrong. And so we don't have to worry about that. Families are able to come out here and sit and relax and enjoy the weekend and time and time and time again, we have families that saying, man, we just don't want to leave. It's nice to be able around, be sitting around here, like you said, Dad, in the evening time, on the park benches, kids are playing. It's nice, warm, it's springtime. You hear the whippoorwills, you hear the birds and on the crickets. You're out in the country, the bright stars. You don't have to hear about helicopters flying over and like in a major city. You don't have to worry about
drive-bys,
shooting. You don't have to worry about
who's serving your food.
Some person, some refugee jumping out of a tree, raping your wife. You don't have to worry about any of that.
You sit around a crackling bonfire, sit on the patio, sit up by the pool, sit inside the church.
Your kids are peaceful. They're running around playing in the kids' equipment. I mean, it is.
You're going to have a good time.
It is a family retreat.
Yeah. If you come, you're going to have a good time. I guarantee it. Bring your family. If you don't bring your family, you can kick yourself that you didn't bring your family.
Right.
So you're going to have a good time. I guarantee it.
And so that's April 29th and 30th and May 1st. And plus, it also was really important is the 50th wedding anniversary, of course, with Dad, you and Mom, and 50 years that you have been ordained as a minister. So it's a 50 years as well anniversary. And so it's going to be a great event. We have a lot of great speakers coming out of town and people that have been involved in the white resistance as well for decades. They are going to be here as well. We're going to have a great, great turnout, great event. And
one of the speakers coming is William Johnson.
William Johnson.
William Johnson is an international attorney. He's not some guy who
yesterday and said, hey, I want to do something.
He's an international attorney, represents large corporations, and has his office at the World Trade Center in Los Angeles.
Right.
So this is not yesterday's bologna sandwich.
Right.
And he's going to be one of our speakers.
He's going to be one of our speakers.
I don't know if Tom Sunick is going to come or not, but Tom Sunick has been here in the past, and Tom Sunick used to be an ambassador for the nation of Croatia. A professor at the university in Los Angeles, Long Beach. I don't know if he's going to be here this time, but he has been here in the past. And so we have some really great, fantastic people that will be here.
And so, it's going to be a great time. And I honestly was thinking about this a couple days ago. I'm hoping we're actually going to have enough room in the Christian Revival Center. I'm actually hoping we'll have enough room. The Christian Revival Center can hold a lot of people. But we're expecting a really great turnout, large turnout this year. And I'm always, and to me, it's kind of exciting to the point that when we built this, we had a lot of room. And now it's getting to the point that we may not have enough room. Yeah. And to me, that's really exciting. And so you got to make plans to be here. You do not want to miss this event. Our last event we had was the Knights Party Congress. We had Paul Fromm here, Faith and Freedom Conference. We had Paul Fromm, we had Willis Cardo, we had Dr. Ed Fields. These were our premier individuals that have been involved in the white resistance movement way over 50 years. And Willis Carlyle, he just passed away. He had founded the American
Free Press
and the Barnes Review, the Populist Party, major publications and programs.
He's been a real moving shaker of the white nationalist movement.
And he passed away.
His funeral is going to be this coming Wednesday. Ray Charles are flying out to it Tuesday, flying to Washington, D.C., and going to be attending his funeral, which is going to be held Wednesday, the 17th. So I don't want to say we're looking forward to it, because how can you be looking forward to a funeral?
Right.
But it's still going to be a good opportunity to meet some great friends and pay honor to this man.
Absolutely.
Who has given so much to our cause over the years.
I mean, he should have his face on a postal stamp.
Absolutely. He should put a monument to him in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's and
put, so, they'll put his image on Stone Mountain and stuff, trying to put up Martin Luther King's image on Stone
right.
Mountain.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we have had, you know, in the years past, we've had Don Black, we've had David Duke make, you know, appearance, not actually being there, but through Skype. We've had some really great people attend our conferences, you know, because they can come here, meet, and associate with like-minded people. They know that it's not going to be canceled. And we have a great turnout. People are always impressed when they come here. Just not only the facility, but the attendees that show up. They really are impressed. And probably more importantly, they're impressed with the amount of families that are here, the amount of children that are here. They just can't get over it, you know, because when they go to some of their meetings, conferences, I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of times it's just kind of older white people. No, old white guys. I mean, I hate to say that. We focus on the family. That is our primary focus. And when they come here, they get energized. Some of these speakers, they come here, they get energized.
One speaker here a couple of years ago said, "This is the first time I ever had to move high chairs so people get to my literature table." I mean, high chairs light up around the room. We gotta move my high chairs, get to my literature table. Not my chairs. We gotta move the high chairs, get to the literature table.
Right.
So,
it's exciting, and they get excited, and everyone feeds off of each other, you know, and it's just that positive attitude. People, you know, are feeding off each other, and when you're positive, someone else is taking that positive and want to share it. It's just a beautiful time. I just love it.
It's positive because we got a message of hope and deliverance for our people. It's not just saying, look what the Jews are doing, look what the blacks are doing, look what Black Lives Matter is doing, look how bad Obama is, look at what's going on. And it's not just pointing at the Goliath, it's look how big Goliath is. It's looking and saying, look how big our Lord God is, look how big the God of Israel is. And we're pointing to the deliverance that God can still manifest among his people, and right. That is the hope we have for our nation and for our people.
Well, you know, God says putting on full armor on you, you know, and that's what it means. I mean, we're involved in a spiritual warfare, and we have to have that right mind frame. We have to have that positive attitude that, hey, God is behind us. He has not betrayed us. And if God is behind us, we can do anything. And I just love, you know, reading some of the passages in the Bible about King David, you know, the boldness he had, you know, just when he goes face Goliath, he says, who dare defies the army of the living God?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's one of my favorite passages because of the fact that he knew God was behind him. So there's, okay, Goliath is an obstacle. Yeah. We take care of Goliath.
Just like, you know, your car is going to stop when you get to the stop sign.
Right.
And he didn't doubt it.
Yeah. So it's one of these things that that positive feeling we have to have. And when you come to the Faith and Freedom Conference and you're meeting other family members, you realize, hey, there are other people out there. I am not the only one. You start socializing with people. You start networking with other people. And you quickly realize there are people, there are families that have the same concerns of you as you, and wanting to do something to change the direction, the path of what the United States is headed.
I think the phenomenon surrounding Donald Trump is evident of what we've been saying for years.
Right.
We've been saying that the American people do not want another shade of gray. They want somebody on the extreme who's going to save the country. and going to lift up a banner of righteousness over the nation. And we're not saying Donald Trump is a
white racialist.
Yeah, we're not saying he's a white racialist, and we're not saying that he's the answer. What we're saying is the people supporting him are evident that they are looking for a change in this country. They're not happy with what's happening. And
he's echoing the exact same thing that we have been saying. And others have been saying...
We just don't have $10 billion to buy the airtime.
Yeah, 50, 60, 70 years. I mean, we've been sounding the exact same alarm, and it's getting to the point that now Donald Trump is saying, and other people in politics are saying it, and our message now is no longer the extreme.
Yeah.
They're not looking at us as the extreme. They're looking at us as we are the ones who can deliver them.
Yeah.
Who can provide those answers. And that is what the enemy fears more than anything. When people start
believing in themselves and believing that they can bring a change,
and they're embracing your message,
absolutely.
And so that's what
the same thing happened in Europe too. There's a real resurgence going all through Europe in retaliation to this invasion by these non-white Arabs coming into Europe. So this worldwide phenomena. This is an exciting time to be alive. And you need to be a part of it. So you need to get your butt down here. Can I say that?
Yes.
You need to get your butt down here on April 29, 30, and May 1. You need to fill out an application, join the Knights, and you get behind financially. If you don't want to join, that's okay.
Official support.
You need to financially get behind us. Some people have a talent, Jason. I'm going to close this up real quick. Some people have a talent to make money. They have a talent. That's their talent. They know how to make money. And those people who know how to make money, have a talent to make money, they can't jeopardize that by maybe joining. I understand that. They can't jeopardize that by standing on the street corner. I understand that. But they can take that talent and use that talent to support the cause of White Christian Revival.
Absolutely.
They can do that. And you need to do that. If you're one of those people that know how to make money, then you need to put into a future for your children. Because let me tell you something. We're going to close with this. Let me tell you. If you don't, your children are going to suffer the same consequences as the poorest child of the poorest laborer doing construction in America. Your wealth is not going to protect your children from the hatred of those who want to destroy our heritage. Your wealth will not protect them. So you need to get behind and support this cause. Well, Jason, we run out of time. And so let's close this up. This is Thomas Robb.
Jason Robb.
And Rachel Pendergraf is not here. But this is us, anyway, reminding you to love your God and to love your people.